by a time machine, and what period of time did he see the overview of the whole revelation from? Anybody know what is that period of time called when John was, I was in the Spirit? What was he taking forward? Jessica? Good, Jessica, the day of the Lord. And he was taken forward. So chapters 1 through 8 deal with the things that thou hast seen from the standpoint of the day of the Lord. All right, chapters 1 through 7, I'm sorry. Chapters 1 through 7. And then the things that are during the day of the Lord, which is chapter 8 to chapter 19. So a lot of revelation is the day of the Lord. Right through chapter 19. And then chapters 20 through 22 that Joe just talked about, 22 chapters, that are the things which shall be after the day of the Lord. And that's the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So that's an overview that John got in chapter 1 of the whole book of the Revelation. And so the day of the Lord is coming, and it's what we've been studying lately. We've been studying about the day of the Lord. Now, we did mention that when it comes to the day of the Lord, that there was a scroll or a book. That's the way books were. And in that book, there's writing inside that book. And does anybody know what the writing is in the book of the day of the Lord? What that writing is about? Yes, ma'am.
Seven plagues.
It's the wrath of God, the seven trumpets of the wrath of God. Yes. And that's the wrath of God to take back the world from Satan. Satan has been ruling this world for about 6,000 years since he got Adam to fall, using his wife, using Eve, got him, pulled him down. And once he got him to sin, then Satan's been ruling the world. God's allowed it to go on for a long time. You know, sleeping beauty, you know, everything, you know, till the prince came and kissed her, everything would be cursed. And that's a picture of Christ when he comes back. And he'll take away the curse upon creation. First he'll take away our curse in our body. And so the day of the Lord, and that's the wrath of God written there that is taken back to take back the world. And that wrath of God is seven trumpets of the wrath of God. Remember that? Blown by angels, and each one will get a measure of wrath. Boom, boom, boom. Seven of them. Seven is the number of completion. Now, if those seven trumpets are going to bring forth the wrath of God, what are the seven seals? Seven is a number of completion. What needs to be done, then it's complete. So the big scroll of the wrath of God will be complete after the seven trumpets are blown. But what about these seven seals? They're not the wrath of God, but they're each one of them, all of them must be broken before the wrath of God can be revealed. So what are they? Yes. Yes, prior events that must take place before the wrath of God. And these begin right at the beginning of the last 7 years before the kingdom. So the first one are the beginning of sorrows, first 3.5 years. And there are four seals that are involved with that. And then the great tribulation is the fifth seal. And that's the persecution of those that won't take the mark of the beast. And then the sixth seal is what? Is cosmic darkening. It cuts short the tribulation, and it signals now the wrath of God is about to fall. And that's the sixth seal. The seventh seal is actually the wrath of God beginning. And the seventh seal contains all of these seven trumpets within it of the wrath of God. Now, these trumpets, and when the wrath of God is poured out in this big book, big scroll, what part of the earth is actually being judged by this? Raise your hand if you know. Dory?
One third.
One third. Very good. One third of the earth is affected by this. Now, will those that are saved in this group right here, if you're truly born again, you truly are connected to Jesus Christ, and I hope you are. You know, in a group like this, 12 disciples, one was a devil. So in any group of 12, you figure at least one is not saved, truly. So make sure that you're saved. And so in this wrath of God, if you're saved, what part of the wrath of God will you experience? Raise your hand if you know. Kathy? None of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We're not appointed to wrath. We're not under God's wrath. Why? Christ took that wrath for us. And so we're not appointed to wrath. What a blessing that is. So the rapture will take place before the wrath of God, right after the sixth seal. Before the seventh seal is broken, the rapture will take place. The glory, the sixth seal will be the darkening of everything. And then the glory of Christ appearing will come from the east to the west as he comes in the glory cloud in the sky. And the angels will gather all of his elect and bring them to him in the clouds. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. And that could happen in your lifetime. We don't know when it's going to happen. The 70th week has not yet begun, but we're watching. Amen. Now, is that all of the wrath of God? No, it is not. It is not. There is a little book. So in chapter 10, after we have gone through the 70th week and the wrath of God has been poured out sometime during the second 3.5 years, at the end of the 7 years, the Lord himself is going to touch down on the earth, and he's going to claim the earth for himself, but he's going to need to finish the wrath of God. And so he has a little scroll that John talks about in Revelation chapter 10, and that little book contains seven what of the wrath of God? Sarge?
Aren't you reading that book when you said that football season?
Yeah. All right, the bowls. And there are seven bowls of the wrath of God. Seven bowls of the wrath of God. And they're going to be poured out very rapidly from about day 6 to day 30 of the 30 days after the 70th week. And we talked about that in Daniel 12:11, that extra 30 days for the wrath of God. It's called overtime. I like to say Gen Z is 2005, kids born between 2005 and 2025. Anybody born in that time would be Gen Z. I just had a granddaughter born, and her name is Emerson. Emerson, I got that right? Yeah, Emerson. And she is a Generation Z girl. And you say, well, what's anybody born after 2025, Generation OT, overtime, because everything is coming down to the end, but God could delay it. But the bowl judgments will be poured out in about a 3-week period, and very rapid, and they will be over the whole earth. And that's what we are going to study today. We finally got to chapter 16 of Revelation, and we're going to actually look at the bowl judgments themselves. And remember, they're poured out very rapidly. And when you think of a bowl, you think of Kentucky Fried Chicken or some greasy food. They didn't have hot and cold running water. And so you would wash your hands in that warm water or that water and get all the grease off it. And then you'd open the window and flick your wrist and flick that water out of that bowl real quick, and it hits the ground. Hopefully not somebody in the face who's walking by there. You wouldn't want to be hit by these bowl judgments either. So let's look at these, and I think what you're going to see in these bowl judgments are not only God's justice, but his poetic justice. Because when God pours out his judgments, it's poetic justice. By the way, have you noticed how they're trying to get rid of Donald Trump? They've now arraigned him three times, and they're looking for a fourth one in Georgia. They got a lackey down in Georgia now to do it. And these are wicked, evil people that are covering up for Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Hillary and Bill and all the wicked cabal there that runs things. And Obama's, and they're doing all of this under the globalists money masters who are really doing crazy things. I mean, they made it so landlords couldn't even collect rent. They were taking that over. And the Supreme Court had to stop in their tracks. Thank God they did, that Trump appointed some good justices. But that's what is going on. That's the level of wickedness that has never been done in the history of this country before. That a political opponent will have his opponent arrested in order not to run against him because he's afraid he's going to be beat because he's a jerk and an evil person. I mean, I've never seen the likes of it, but we're seeing it. And yet, Trump wrote, I just read a note, he said, they just arrested me for the third time. He said, one more and they'll guarantee I get elected. So I'm hoping for one more, he said. But he said, that's what they're doing. And he's raising more money from small donors. They're sending them $5, $10, $15, just to help them with all the lawyer fees and everything else that's needed to defeat this wicked cabal, because they know that he's standing up against it. Well, you know, the whole world is against the Lord. And when you see these judgments coming on the world, instead of seeing them repent, you're going to see their hearts get harder and harder. And these bold judgments now, these people that are surviving to this little book of the wrath of God, the final wrath of God, they've gone through a lot. And yet they're still worshiping Satan. They're still worshiping the beast in the image of the beast. They're still going along with the false Christ, the Jewish false Christ. They're just against God. They actually hope to beat God. And the whole world, they're going to become devil worshipers. And I talked to a lady yesterday up in Carbondale. She's Wiccan, but she says there's a difference between pagan and Wiccan. And I actually had her share with me, because as soon as I said anything about the Lord, she was going to shut up anyway. So I just had her share with me. I just kept asking her questions about Wiccan and paganism and all this. Tapped her brain, you know, what she believed. Pray for this lady. Her name's Rebecca. She lives up in Carbondale. She needs the Lord. But, you know, she was talking about this and talking about pagans and what they believe. And of course, they're devil worshipers, she said. They just right up worship Satan. Well, she worships the great spirit, who is the devil. She doesn't know it, but she's still worshiping the devil. He's just tricking her. And she thinks, well, I'm Wiccan, so I'm light. You know, I do light things, and I sprinkle cinnamon here and on my thing. I said, well, what got you away from Christianity? Because I know you used to be, well, when my husband died. I like my husband. He died back in 2016, and that turned her away. And she, you know, was blaming God for that, you know, the God of the Bible, I guess. The great spirit, what about him? But anyway, people are blinded. And this is where you come to this point. So let's look at this now. This is between day 6 and day 30. And remember, the Lord has split the Mount of Olives, Zechariah 14. He's protecting the Jewish people inside there. He's gone back up to heaven. And now you have this bold judgment. So look at verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials, that's the bowls, of the wrath of God upon the earth. All right, let's look at the first one. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. So this first vial is not poured out on one third of the earth, but rather the whole of the earth. And I wonder, could this noisome and grievous sore on the body of them that had the mark, what do you think about that? Think about that for a moment. They took the mark of the beast. They were all happy. Why were they happy? Free food. Free food stamps. You get all your food free. All you got to do is just take this mark. The government provides all your food. You don't have to work for it. I had a guy yesterday, he was asking me if he should go on disability or work. I said, work. I said, you can work. He said, well, certain jobs I can't do. I said, I understand that, but you can do other jobs. I said, you're better off to work, because if you're working, Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And if you don't have a job, you're working. Plus, you're a crook. You're living off people that are working. So you need to contribute. You need to work. Plus, you're depending on the government. God says, if you don't work, don't eat. There are jobs you can do. Well, people say, I can't. Well, how about Johnny Erickson? She was paralyzed from the neck down, and she started painting with a paintbrush and sold her paintings. And she made a way to do it. See, where there's a will, there's a way. Your problem is you don't want to work. And so you just don't want to get a job. And so I said, get the job and work, and I'll pray for you to get the right one. And we have so much of this going on today. And all a part of getting saved is then you get sanctified. And when you get sanctified, that means you get set apart to God and what God wants for your life. And that means you start changing your life. If you've been living in fornication, you get out of it. You know, that means living with somebody you're not married to.
Yep.
You get out of that. You can't join the church if you're living with it. And if you're being a lazy bohunk and living on the government, you get out of that. You get a job of some sort or a business or something that you can do where you can make some money, right? Like Jessica here. She makes money. and then you can give to those that are in need. So anyway, here you have this mark, and they took the mark, and it is global socialism. By the way, how long is it going to last? It's going to start right in the middle and won't even last 3.5 years, because global socialism doesn't last long. No socialism lasts long, because people that are working get sick of paying for people that aren't working. And pretty soon nobody's working, because more and more people say, this is a good deal. I don't have to work, and I get all the food I want. I get all the medical care I want. I get all the... I remember seeing back in the 70s, folks on food stamps were eating steaks and buying $100 tennis shoes. And people that are working were struggling. Well, see, America's kind of had a combination of socialism and capitalism, so they kept it going longer. But this is going to be just a worker's paradise. It'll be a non-worker's paradise. It'll be, take this mark, and all you got to do, okay, just worship the beast. Just say, I acknowledge you as my highest being. And take the mark. And it'll be in the forearm, in the hand, I'm sorry, the hand or the forehead. In case your hand gets cut off, your head can't be cut off. You can't live. So you're going to always be able to get it scanned and have that mark, and you'll be able to have free food and so on and so forth. And it'll all be provided for you, medical care and what other benefits, who knows, you know, that there'll be with that mark. Now, what about this grievous sore? What do you think this is? It says only those that have the mark will get it. What do you think that is? Anybody have a thought on that, Sarge?
I think the verse says the sun will be so hot.
That's later. This is the first bowl. This is the first bowl, and what's going to happen in this first bowl, and I'm going to share it with you, I think, it will be like a chemical poured out by God that will react with the mark. And it will hurt so bad that people that took that mark are going to be like, ah! It's going to be terribly painful. It'll be a chemical reaction to that tattoo, that RFID tattoo or whatever that is on the wrist or on the hand, and the pain will be horrible and grievous. And so is that not poetic justice? They took the mark. Oh, others didn't take the mark. They gave all kind of grief to people that didn't take the mark. Remember the jab? If you didn't take the jab, all the crap, all the grief you got. All the grief you got. In fact, I used to think, if you didn't wear the mask, you got all the grief. And there's only one difference between a mask and a mark, and that's the letter S, M-A-S-K-M-A-R-K, mark. And I thought about that. I thought, man, and everybody thought, oh, you know, Fauci said, you know, you don't need the mask. Then he said, you do need the mask. Then he said, you only need one mask. Then he said, no, you need two masks. And it was all a bunch of malarkey, to quote Joe Biden. It's like wearing a dirty diaper up on your mouth and breathing your own carbon dioxide back in and thinking that's healthy. I never thought that was healthy. I had a lady lay me out in Taylor Walmart because I didn't have the mask on. And she screamed at me. And, you know, she had the power of government behind her, Fauci behind her, you know. And so she could, this little old lady could scream at me, you know, and tell me off. And, you know, I'm so sorry. And it masks the image of God. You don't see the face. So Satan doesn't love the image of God in man. He hates it. So he likes it when you're masked up. And it doesn't protect you. My mother wears that mask. At least she didn't take the jab, thank God. But she likes to wear that mask all the time. And I tell her, Mom, take that mask off. It's no good for me. She'll wear it. But anyway, but people put that mask on all the time. And when they do that again, don't listen to them. Don't be like Matt McWhorter. He never put it on. I went into a restaurant one time with Matt, and they said, you got to have the mask on to go in. And we said, okay, we're going to another restaurant. We walked out. But anyway, I'm just saying, you go along with these people, you empower them. They don't have any authority to do this. The WHO, the World Health Organization, that's all Satan. They're trying to, this is a precursor to the mark. They're getting you ready. And the jab, oh my, the jab. People are dropping dead right and left from the jab. And they're dying from it, and they're getting sick from it, and they're getting all kinds of problems from it. And I heard that 75% of America took the jab. I screamed, don't take it. I wonder what percentage of this group took it. I don't know, and I'm not going to take a poll. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'm saying if you did take it, you better try to get, what's that called, where they purify your blood. They run your blood through a filter.
Dialysis?
No, it's not dialysis. There's a name for it. My son was telling me about it. But anyway, you need to purify your blood and get that junk out of there. And even, so what I'm trying to say to you is that sore, that sore is going to be God's poetic justice. They were able to gloat for however much of the 3.5 years they were able to gloat, but then, my oh my, they're going to get into the wrath of God, and then they're going to get into the bowls of wrath, and the first bowl of wrath is going to be that sore, that mark is going to start hurting them. And it's something God just pours out. And in the same way with people taking the jab, people are dying from it. That's God saying, you listened to man. You didn't listen to true science. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:20, and it's only in the King James Bible, not the modern translations. Science falsely so-called. Remember when that Fauci said, I am science? Remember that quote? I am science, he said. Yeah, he kept changing what he said. Science doesn't change, true science. So he's a liar, and he needs to be executed after being tried for his crimes against humanity, because he did worse than Hitler. Hitler at least buried the dead by incinerating their bodies in crematoriums. Fauci made us pay for the people he killed. I had to, well, not me, but my father had saved money to pay for his funeral. Devils. Bill Gates and these people. So we are living in now the days that you can see we're right up against the 70th week of Daniel. And so that's the first one. Let's look at the second one here. And notice the second one is the second angel, verse 3, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. This isn't one-third of the sea, this is the sea. Now, by the way, the sea, I always wondered about that, and I got my Webster's 1828 dictionary. How many have ever read a Webster's 1828? Okay, you need to do that with your King James Bible. I looked up the word sea. Here's why. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, I believe it's 22. So go there to chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22. Go there And look at, I'm sorry, 21, Revelation 21. Go to verse 1 and look what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more what?
Sea.
So in the new heaven and new earth, there's going to be no more sea. Now, when is that? Revelation 21, verse 1. When is that in our time scale where there's no more sea? It's when there is a new heaven and new earth, the beginning of the new heaven and new earth. No more sea. Does anybody know when that is? Diane? Yes, very good, Diane. It's the beginning of the millennial, the first day of the thousand-year reign. And the new heaven and new earth goes on throughout the thousand years. Then it goes on beyond that after the great white throne judgment into eternity, because the mediatorial kingdom on earth is going to be into eternity. But there's no more sea. So I said, how can that be? Because in the millennium, it very clearly says that on Mount Zion, from underneath the threshold of the temple, going east, there are going to be a stream of water that will spring up and come out of the temple. And it will get ever deeper, and it will flow into the Dead Sea. And what will become of the Dead Sea? Yep.
It will be revitalized.
Mm-hmm. Rejuvenated, revitalized. And now fish will grow in there, and people will fish and catch fish in the Dead Sea. I swam in the Dead Sea. You can float on it. No fish can live in it. It's got so full of minerals and salt. Nothing can live in there. But once that fresh water flows in there, it's going to rejuvenate. So how can there be a Dead Sea and no more sea? Well, you got to have a Webster's 1828 dictionary. Anybody know the answer to that? No more sea, yet a Dead Sea. And no doubt, there'll be other seas, like the Sea of Galilee and other seas. Well, it's very simple. The first definition of the word sea is large ocean bodies. There's going to be no more large ocean bodies of salt water. There will be freshwater seas over the world, but not these large Atlantic, Pacific, Indian Ocean waters. What are those ocean waters? Sarge?
Go back to the flood.
Mm-hmm.
The earth, first of all, two things. The earth ripped open.
Yep.
And the canopy.
Yep.
That was around the planet was destroyed.
So that's the water. That's the water from all the subterranean water that gushed out when the meteor hit the earth or the asteroid hit the earth and cracked it into all these different tectonic plates. That's why we have earthquakes ever since the flood. Before the flood, there was no earthquakes where that those plates were cracked. And all that water gushed out because it was underground and it used to water the ground. Remember in Genesis, there was no rain. It watered the ground. Now it's all going to gush out. It did gush out and came down. And that caused these large oceans. And that people say, well, where's the water from the flood? That's it, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. When you swim in the ocean, you're swimming in the judgment of the flood. Just remember that when you're in there, when you're in that ocean. It's fearful to be there when you think of it. So anyway, what God's going to do now is turn all that into blood. And God is judging the world again, using the same waters of and everything in those waters is going to die. So it's like another step up from the flood judgment. All right, let's go to the third one, verse 4. It says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. So what kind of water is this? Fresh water, drinking water. Now, it becomes blood. And these judgments are just hitting one after the other. Now, look at this. And I heard, verse 5, the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. Verse 6, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. Now, let me ask you this. What's he talking about when he says, they have shed the blood of the saints? What's he talking about? When did they shed the blood of the saints? Kathy? All right, the final Holocaust, called the Great Tribulation. And they will turn people in. Children will turn their parents in. If you don't take the mark, your children, if they're not saved, I guarantee you will turn you in. They will turn you in if they're not saved. They will turn you in. You say, why? They're my children. They love me. They would never do that. The love of many will wax cold. Their hearts will be hardened. They'll be given strong delusion. That's the power of Satan. Your own children will turn you in. Your family will turn you in. I'm telling you. Yeah.
It's common practice in North Korea right now.
Mm-hmm.
People try to escape. There's always
family members, friends. Yes.
Right in their own house.
Yes, sir.
And I've watched enough of this.
Okay.
Very common.
Okay. And it's going to be on a higher level here, you can imagine, than even that. So it's going to be, that's why it's called the greatest tribulation in the history of the world, because of that kind of thing. And so what happens is people now are guilty of the blood of their own family members when they're killed. And I knew a guy where he stabbed his mother, and his mother never turned him in. She died, but she never turned him in. I knew the guy and knew about it, and the whole story. He's a pastor, but he got away. She wanted it that way. She died. He stabbed her. She wanted. True mother. But anyway, it's horrible. That is how dirty Satan is. And so God says, okay, you did this now. That water is going to become bloody soup. So when you turn on the tap, blood comes out. Bloody water. And they have to drink it. Why? Because you can't live without water for 3 days. So you got to drink it. Can you imagine gagging on that bloody stuff?
Yeah.
You got to drink it to live. Oh, they're angry. They're not repenting. They're not saying, I'm sorry for work. They're angry at God for this. And they're cursing him, but they're drinking it, you know, and God's saying, yeah, well, that's what you get for shedding my people's blood. You think you're going to get away with this? See, you have to remember, God's fundamental and controlling attribute is not his love. God is love, but his fundamental and controlling attribute is his what? Kathy? His justice. His justice must be satisfied. That means he must judge sin. He can by no means clear the... God can't. There's certain things God can't do. He can't lie and he can't be unjust. And people think they're going to be saved even though they sin, and God's just going to sweep it under the rug because he's this toothless grandfather in the sky that's not going to bite, you know. Oh, how wrong they are. How wrong they are. And God is just, and so the revelation will show you the judgment of God. And that's why you need to take cover under the blood of Jesus. It's the only way you could be saved, because that satisfies God's justice. You have to satisfy God's justice. If mommy ain't happy, ain't no one happy. Well, if God isn't satisfied, ain't no one going to be saved. And so he's going to pour out his wrath because they've rejected Christ. And so the wrath of God is going to be poured out. And this is part of it. They're going to be drinking this bloody water. And you think about the Bible. Before the law, God said you're not to drink blood or eat blood. During the law, he said don't eat blood. And after the law, he said don't eat blood. In Acts, in the Jerusalem Council, Acts 15. So blood is forbidden to be ingested by people because God does not want us ingesting blood. Well, listen, what do the Catholics do? They drink the blood of Christ, literally, because they say it becomes the wine, which is alcoholic wine, which shouldn't be fermented wine. It becomes the blood of Christ, literally, they say. And then they're drinking blood. No, friend. No, that's not how it works. God would never have that. It's ridiculous. But these people will be drinking blood because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So they're going to be drinking blood. So listen, we need to warn our family, our friends. If you don't get saved now, you're going to not be saved during the tribulation because you heard the gospel, and now God will send you strong delusion so you will believe the lie. So get them saved now before the great tribulation. And so when that comes, then you have the next bowl, which is the fourth bowl. So go to verse 8. It says, by the way, verse 7, and I heard another voice out of the altar, even Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. See that? God's judgments are upholding his righteousness. And then number 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath the power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So what's happening? Now listen to me. Listen carefully. What do these people say, and they claim science for it, is the cause of they claim global warming. And they're afraid because of global warming, we're going to have the poles are going to melt and it's going to flood the earth, right? Even though God says we're not going to be destroyed by a flood. It's going to be fire. So they've got it wrong. And Al Gore and these guys for years have set dates when it's all going to happen. I remember it back in the 80s and the 70s. It never happened. And it's not going to happen. They don't have true science. What do they say, these liars, what do they say causes global warming? What compound? Yeah. Carbon footprint. We breathe out carbon dioxide, and they claim that that carbon is destroying us. The cow farts, you've heard of that, cow farts. So you got to kill the cows and all this mumbo jumbo idiocy. That does not cause any kind of appreciable global warming that would affect us at all. Back in the Middle Ages, it's been proven that in England they were eating grapes. What causes global warming scientifically? Very simple. What is it? The sun. It's always solar activity, flares in the sun. And the sun goes through these different cycles. And that's why there's been warmer periods and then cooler and then warmer. It's not carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is breathed by plants. They breathe it in. They breathe out oxygen. We breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. It's a perfect cycle. God set this up. Don't believe these liars. 1 Timothy 6:20, science falsely so called. So here's God's poetic justice. You believe in global warming? I'm going to warm your hide. Seriously, I'm going to warn your hide, and he's going to cause solar activity that's going to be so hot that people's skin is going to be sunburned, terrible burns on their skin. And what are they going to do? Curse God and go against God. And so that's what you have in this fourth bowl of the wrath of God in verses 8 and 9, you have that. So we've been hearing about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the final wrath of God. This is what's needed for him to repossess the mediatorial kingdom. And who's going to rule over the world? His own people that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, let me give you one warning. Next week, we're going to look at more of the wrath of God. Have you been saved by Jesus Christ? If you have, you're unwilling to trust anyone or anything else other than Jesus and his death for your sins. If you have, Jesus Christ by his Spirit lives in you. And you have a hunger for the Word. And you're turning away from sin in your life to God and living for God. And if you have, you're getting ready for Jesus to come back. In fact, you're looking forward for Jesus to come back. Because you know that this world is not the be-all, end-all. But if you're not saved, and you're in this class today, you need to run to Jesus and accept him as your Savior. And then get baptized and say, I've been a charlatan, I'm not saved. I've not been saved, but I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Why? Because when this comes, you'll not be able to stand. And that's why I believe a lot of people couldn't even stand during the precursor to this that we just went through. They had no discernment. All right, I'll stop there. All right. See you next week. See you next week.